Commissioner Gilman, you ready to go?
I am ready. Thank you, sir.
All right. It is 12:05. We're going to reconvene. Bring us to item number 14, which is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bring us to item number 15, which is discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2022-2023 474 Fire District tentative budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. Controller, our chief. Very much.
Good afternoon. Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. Before we start the fire budget, I wanted to give you a high level third quarter review of where we currently are. Again, the clerk treasurer's office has end of month processes to complete, and I have not audited the third quarter. But on a high level, the revenues for the fire district as a whole, they have approximately 8% left to collect. And the fire general fund has approximately 3% left to collect. As far as expenses go, they are sitting as a entire district at 29% of a remaining budget. And the fire general fund has just under 25% available expenses. Both of the revenue and the expense figures for the current fiscal year are definitely supporting that the chief is working very hard towards building his ending fund balance to a more comfortable level. We like to see approximately a 25% of the previous year's expenses. And we're getting there slowly. Right now, we're right at that number, but one swift kick could change that. So I'd like to see it a little bit higher. Now moving on to the 22-23 budget. His revenues over expenses in this budget are approximately $363,000, which would leave an increase in the ending fund balance. However, we do have a few transfers that will be going out, which would leave a decrease in the ending fund balance from the current fiscal projections of $140,000. This is not where we like to see the ending fund balance go. However, we can't expect our fire district to operate on outdated equipment. So we feel that this slight decrease is justified. The revenues for the fire general budget are seeing an approximate 11% increase. This is through all revenue streams except for charges and services. That has a slight decrease, which is attributed to that Tesla catch-up payment that we're seeing in the current fiscal year. Another major change is the migration of the fire prevention program from community development in the Story County budget. The fire district will be receiving permits and business license revenue for the first time in several years. We have worked to budget that at a conservative level of approximately the 2016 figures. We have an overall increase in expenses of the general fund, approximately between 10 and 11% are due to merit and pay schedule increases that we see in wages and will move in the benefits as well. His overall service and supplies has increased by 9%. This is due primarily to training, purchases of personal protective equipment. These two items, the chief is looking to bring into a more realistic budget figure. For example, the personal protective equipment, which is a line item called PPE. This equipment expires after so many years, and the chief is trying to get more of a rotation built in. This is causing a little extra upfront money so that we can get in a position where he can rotate so many each year. The fire district is also seeing a transfer in of $500,000 from the mutual aid fund. This will be transferred to the capital projects fund within the fire department to purchase capital items that we'll discuss later. But if you have any specific questions in the 250 or the fire general budget, Chief Longcar is here to answer them.
Okay, we'll actually go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding item number 15? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions right now?
Not at this moment, thank you.
Vice Chair?
Yeah, I have a couple. So, and I think Comptroller McCain may have answered my first one, but it just has to do with the new revenue from the licensing and permitting because of the reorganization there. And my kind of my initial, when I was looking at it, my initial question was just our confidence in those numbers. Do I understand correctly that it's a conservative estimate based on 2016 numbers? That's what we're using.
That's correct. And Jeremy Longcar for the record. So I did go back in budgets back to 2016 and even took those figures and reduced them. So we got a very conservative number in all of those new revenue sources.
Great. Thank you. I was curious, there's a revenue line for ground emergency transport, and there's a budget number of 200,000, but last year there was nothing budgeted and there's no activity year to date, at least when the budget was started. And I'm just curious if that's something that we're still waiting to come through, just hadn't shown up yet, or if that happens sometimes.
So actually we just recently received that payment and it went for over 300,000.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's good news. On the expense side, the overtime number is substantial, and I'm just wondering if that's a foregone conclusion, if there are structural things or temporary things that we expect to change that. Is that just par for the course? Is that just the way it goes?
So generally, it's kind of par for the course with the fire service. However, we have seen an increase in which I have another agenda item as a way to try to tackle some of that as well. However, if you look at our structure at a two-man station, I always have to have two men. So if somebody calls off, I have to pull somebody back in for overtime because I gotta have somebody drive the ambulance and somebody to attend to the patient. So unfortunately, we do have some minimum staffing things we must address. So our overtime this year in particular has went very heavy due to injuries, not necessarily vacancies, although we did fill our last vacancy here approximately over a month ago now, I believe. But it's just basically been on injuries.
Got it. Further down, there's on the line item for communications expenses, percentage-wise, it's a pretty substantial increase. And I'm just wondering if that's the new normal, if that's ongoing, or we're playing some catch-up, some one-time expenses included in that.
So there is one-time expenses included in that. One thing about, as was talked about by James Dean from IT, is we did upgrade the VHF system. One thing we didn't anticipate was the pager side of that, or all of the other little built-in things, such as some of our night paging for our stations. We're not alerting every station when we have a medical in the north end. We just didn't encapsulate all of our costs in that transition. So there is a little catch up this year, in which I expect next year is going to be the same thing, just to finalize the system. And then it should be reduced to basically just upkeep.
Okay, great. Thank you. You know, I was pretty impressed. It's a tight budget, right? And one of the concerns that I had is on the estimate on the expense for tires, and not because I have any sort of special knowledge in that area, but just comparing it to what Public Works was putting out, they estimated 120% increase in their tire budget. And we have about a 20% increase in tire budget here. Now, I don't know how much of that is due to new vehicles, so on and so forth. I'm just concerned about the sufficiency of that when we're looking at the way that costs have increased.
Yes, I absolutely do. So one thing about it is we have been reducing our fleet. Just as of now, I've got equipment sitting down at the auction that we're just dumping. So those were all things that were anticipated that we need to change. So when we took that whole spreadsheet, we're able to thin it down on what equipment we've gotten rid of and analyze the years where everything else. Talking with Trent, he was very confident in that number. So that's what we included in the budget.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then I guess kind of a similar question along with gas and diesel, but I guess the answer may be the same. A 28% increase, a lot of other people are a lot of the other budgets that we've looked at are forecasting a much more substantial increase based on what we're seeing at the pumps. But is that a similar case of
because it is a similar case, but as well too is that now we are actually tying a lot of our fuel costs to say NV Energy funding. If it's working on that project, we're tying that the funding there. We're better allocating money toward where it goes, such as the 270 account. If they go out on a wildland fire, we want to make sure that we attribute for the money within that fund. So I do have multiple funds that address tires and fuel as well.
Great. Thank you. Those are my questions.
I don't have any questions for you at this time.
Thank you.
The other fund that we'd like to comment on is the Capital Projects Fund, which is receiving $500,000 by way of the general fund from mutual aid. This is to plan for upcoming new purchases that have been lacking. Due to COVID, supplies and inventories have been down. These purchases include retrofitting an air ride suspension for smoother support for the patients and a new ambulance. Both of these items were budgeted in the current year, but could never come to fruition. New items on the 22-23 plan are a new pickup. If the fire department gets a new position for assistant chief, and a type 3 brush engine. The type 3 brush engine is budgeted for an entire, one entire vehicle, although the chief is looking at funding sources to be able to purchase two new vehicles with payments over time. And if you have any questions on that, the chief can answer those questions.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Sure.
I do not, but I do have one other question back on the general budget that I forgot.
Go for it.
So looking at the salary and wages line, just rough ballpark, what percentage of the increase looks like around 200,000, give or take.
Yes.
And I'm just curious what percentage of that is allocated to anticipated or potential new positions and how much of it is just natural increase in what we got coming down the pike.
We'll bring Jennifer back up. Now, I do have a follow-up as well.
The payroll budget that you have before you is just what is already planned for, merit increases for all staff, as well as an agreed CBA pay chart increase. There's no new positions in there currently.
Okay.
And would that not reflect the reserve personnel? We did include
it
that.
It does include the reserve. We took out seasonals, and they're now reserve personnel.
Okay. Is there anything else? Because I did notice on the capital projects budget, there was an inclusion potentially of a pickup for a position that doesn't currently exist. Are there other expenses that we've lined in anticipation of potential new positions?
So part of that was just analyzing how much we could move over to our capital improvement fund out of the 270. Jennifer did mention the 500,000. Ultimately, that's what I would like to do. And as well as the reserve program. Is a great way to start finding new talent and bringing them in at a very reasonable rate. However, we can make some adjustments, provided board approval on new positions, to fund those positions. So if the transfer is just a little less and some remains within the 250 account, and we have to eliminate the reserve program, push it off a year, 2 years, let the economy continue to grow to support that, we can make those changes.
Great, thank you.
All right, questions?
And finally, the grant fund, which was created last year. This was primarily created for that NV Energy grant, which brings in substantial revenue and pays for Story County employees to do NV Energy type duties. Chief can speak on what those specifically are. As well, there is another district grant that Chief Lone Car is planning for and hoping comes to fruition, and that would be able to purchase a new ladder truck. Notification on this grant will be in August or September, but we are budgeting in the positive side that it's going to happen. And that's all I have for the fire district.
Thank you. We will go to check public comment one more time before we look for a motion. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, any final questions?
No final questions, but just a general observation. Relying on the chief and budgets and the general department, I'm sensing significant growth in the overhead and expense of our fire department. And I want to get my arms around the justification for the growth generally. And so part of my concern, I've seen that there's a potential request for an assistant fire chief at this point. And so I question that our Story County Fire Department is in a position what would be the term, adjust and grow to a level that is visionary. But I'm not entirely convinced that that the justification is there in a county our size. So one of the questions that I would ask of staff, or perhaps of chief, if I may, I'd be curious in a schedule of fire calls specifically by the year over the last 3 years, so that we can look and see. And I'm not talking about the ambulance and VMT and some of those, but specifically, are we seeing a significant growth? And that would be other than Tesla, because they're paying their own way over and above. But I'd really be curious in the impacts in the county for the needs and what we're seeing. And I haven't seen any of that. And it would be helpful before we do final budget for me to have a better feel for the growth in demand and impacts on the general department and fire. So thank you for that opportunity to comment, but that's a concern that I'm starting to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
And say, and follow up on that, Commissioner Gilman, absolutely. And I could present that to the back of the board for everyone to kind of see and see how we have morphed and changed and where the need resides. And to display that for everyone. And I'm also available anytime on phone call or you'd like to meet up.
Yeah, that would be very, very helpful for me at this point, because anytime you start, you know, major changes, major new equipment, major employees, a lot of aggressive changes could be absolutely important. But I would really like to see the impacts, and I'm sure you can furnish that here in the coming weeks. And thank you.
Thank you again, Commissioner Gilman. With no other comment, Vice Chair, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the filing of the 2022-2023 474 Fire District tentative budget to the Nevada Department of Taxation as presented.
Second motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 16, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of resolution number 22-638, resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 474.470 for appointed Story County Fire Protection District officials for the 2022-23 fiscal year, and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County Fire District employees with grade adjustments for fire chief and the addition of assistant chief, administrative assistant 1, 2, and 3, I assume, and administrative specialist office manager. The fire inspector position will be abolished on the general salary schedule due to it being recognized within the SCFFA CBA. The general salary schedule will be consistent with the Story County salary schedule. And will be adjusted accordingly on a year-by-year basis. Chief?
Commissioners, yes. So essentially this resolution, what we're doing here is much similar to what was presented by Jeannie earlier on the county side, is that currently I'm operating off of three different salary schedules. So it's a way to bring them at least down to two. We have our negotiated one with the Story County Firefighters Association, but reduce it to two, as well as align them again where they need to be. The positions such as the administrative assistant 1, 2, and 3, these are not filled positions. It's just establishing them under the district. Because one thing we have noticed and we have recognized is that one of the positions here, office manager, is currently recognized under the AFSCME CBA. However, that is CBA that's with the county, not the fire district. So in order just to maintain that across the board, we're going to recognize it under our resolution at its appropriate step. So, and this does adjust it, puts us down to the same pay schedule that the county is using. This will simplify some of the actions within the HR office and comptroller, as well as myself. We did eliminate the fire inspector. Again, it is covered under the CBA, so it is no longer a non-represented position, as these are all reflective of. It does show the assistant chief on there if approved. Again, it's just established there. So the work has been done. The comp study has been done to establish that as well. On that, there was also, and I can also welcome Ms. Green up if you guys like to question her on this. I know she's done a lot of the legwork. I just copied and pasted a lot of things from her. But this was done in conjunction with HR. And there was also a grade adjustment to one position within the fire district, and that is for the fire chief.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments regarding item number 16?
I do want to reconfirm my concern here that we're contemplating positions, adding people. You know, one of the downfalls of so many public community, and not suggesting that we shouldn't have proper services and support and safety for our the public and the public good, but I really get concerned when I'm seeing that we're anticipating adding a lot of overhead, a lot of staff to a particular department, any department throughout our community. And I'm very proud of Story County in that we have been consistently conservative when it comes to adding personnel and overhead. I want to do so with caution. And so my comment here and in looking at this is I'm not real comfortable in anticipating and thinking about adding a lot of positions to the fire department. I'd certainly want to know how we're justifying that in the matter of workload, in the matter of seeing that we're having the kind of demand that would justify this kind of growth in personnel. So I just want to voice that concern, Chief. I, in all due respect, I would like to visit with a backup see what's driving this from the standpoint of demand on the department. But I do voice concerns on looking at this kind of overhead hiring in any department in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. No comments other than yes, absolutely, Commissioner Gilman. I'll certainly follow up to you and just kind of reiterating too as well is that this isn't necessarily approval for this position. It does establish the position for us. So if at some point we feel like it is necessary, and obviously if we can fund it, it is established there. So we're just utilizing the work in which has been conducted to put it down on paper and put it under the district.
Some backup reporting for me would be very helpful. And thank you for that, Chief.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess one of my questions is just due to my inexperience and you know, I'm wondering what specifically with the assistant chief position, what, I mean, if we approve creating the position here, I guess is what are the controls are there? What, at what point do we trigger actually, what's the mechanism to actually create the position? In other words, does that make sense? I'm not understanding. It's like, it seems like if we create it here, then that basically opens the door and says, yep, we can do it.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to welcome our HR to, yep, to comment on this. They're experts in this area. If we might be able to get Jeannie to opine to that.
If you approve the resolution before you, what it would do, it would just establish the title and the grade level. However, Jennifer would have to approve that there is funds available before the position could actually be recruited or filled. On the pay resolution that you approved for the county, we had the management analyst on there. Right now, we do not have any positions allocated to that class, but we wanted to have it on there in case there was a need in the future.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
I think it does. So assuming the money's there in the budget, then it's something in essence that staff could go ahead and implement, or is it something that needs board action to go ahead and open up that position for recruitment?
If you approve the resolution as is, it would not necessarily require further board action. However, you could, through your motion, say that prior to having the position filled, that the fire district would have to come back and get approval to
Great.
Do so.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you, Jeannie.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Vice Chair and Commissioner Gilman, I think obviously we're probably all on the same page regarding the assistant chief position. So I would say that come motion time, we just make note on there that my suggestion would be that if the assistant chief position was able to be funded and we were seriously considering looking for somebody in that position, that it would be brought back to the fire board. I think we're well within our rights to do that.
I'm comfortable with that approach.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add a couple more elements because I certainly, Commissioner Gilman, I hear your concern. And I think there are other elements that need to be considered in addition to demand on the resources. And one of them has to do with, and I'll just use a similar example we heard from Public Works and Fleet Maintenance. You know, there's a lot of proactive things that they could be doing if they had the personnel to do it. And I see it very much the same in fire prevention, particularly. The fuels reduction work that's being done, which doesn't necessarily come out of our budget, you know, it's funded by grants, but also there's a substantial amount of readiness, preparedness, overall improving the atmosphere and reducing the risk, reducing response time, so on and so forth. I also think we can't necessarily just isolate out fire response because the fire district is in charge of medical response as well. And that's a substantial service that gets used quite a bit in our community. And that really is part of that whole. And so certainly justification is warranted for growth and continued. But I'd like to make sure that it's a holistic look at all those things. I think, you know, one of my other questions was about creating all the administrative positions. I'm satisfied with that it's not necessarily that's the direction we're headed, just to create the classifications to clean that up a little bit and make it match. I think there's a bigger conversation, honestly, than just speaking to my fellow commissioners about the future of a growing community, a growing fire district, and how it interrelates with the county. Because in the past, it has been very interrelated. Right now, it's somewhat interrelated. And the question is, in the future, is it more beneficial to have it more independent, or does it make sense to continue to leverage resources that we have in place? I'm certainly not in favor of duplicating things that can be done effectively together. We are still overall two fairly small organizations, and would not like to see us build a bureaucracy that doesn't really show a distinct benefit. So, but it's an incredibly complex discussion, and I have a hard time considering one part of it. For example, let's take this assistant chief position, considering that without looking at the other pieces of it. And what I mean by that is, if there was a notion down the road to separate out some of the things that the county is handling for the district, that to me, and move those over to the district, that would be a reason, that would be a justification, a stronger justification to have an assistant chief to oversee things like HR and buildings and whatever, if those were things that the county was no longer involved in. I have a tough time making the leap right now to basically, you know, over the next 5 years, $1 million worth of staffing expenses with the current operating situation. But I think it's good to have the conversation and important to have the conversation, maybe outside of the budget process, so that we chart a course that really is benefits every, you know, both the fire district and the county. So those are my thoughts. I have one other thought on this resolution, and I'm probably going to be a troublemaker here again, but my understanding is that the staff recommendation for the fire chief grade was reduced a bit from what the comp study found. And I'm sure there are reasons for that, but that rubs me the wrong way just a little bit. My understanding was the comp study found support for a slightly higher grade. And if, in my mind, if that's what the comp study found, even if the, if that's what the comp study found, my preference would be to go right across the board with what was found in the comp study. And I could be wrong, but I believe that was a 1.64 grade instead of a 1.61, which is a staff recommendation.
Jeannie Green, this kind of goes back to the pay philosophy of the county again, where we don't want to be lagging, but we don't think we should be a leader in the area either. I recommended the grade 161. Currently, Story County is way at the bottom. If we moved it to a 161, it would put us ahead of Carson and East Fork Fire. We would still be low North Lyon, Tahoe Douglas, Truckee Meadows, and Central Lyon.
Okay. Could I just, and not to put you on the spot, Amy, but just a confirmation? Am I misremembering, or was it correct that the finding on the comp study was even higher than a 161?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. If you look at just averages, we could make the case for a higher grade level. We did not do that on the county side of things. So I used the same formula for the fire district. Yes.
Great. Thank you.
So, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that as an answer. I'm just not sure I'm totally in line with the staff recommendation.
Well, and go ahead, Gina.
And that's fine. I was just going to say one more thing. If you approve the salary schedule with the increase, that would also move the position up. It would be more in line with North Lyon. It would still be a little bit below, but it would be close at that point.
I'm sorry, could you clarify? Is that... are you referring to make it in line with the negotiated, with the increases that have happened to represented?
Correct.
Is that what you're referencing?
Yes.
So that same element would be applied to?
Yes, that is the fire chief's recommendation, and it is a part of this agenda item, is to make it in line with Story County's pay structure, which is in line with the ASME structure.
Okay.
And Commissioner, just kind of one comment on that. And I haven't heard of the higher grade until today's meeting. But one thing that kind of stuck out to me is that Ms. Green spent intense time on this, and it's in a, the fire service, especially fire districts, are very complex that most of it's negotiated right off the get-go. So in the fire districts and looking at them, even with what was proposed, was still dramatically under. And in a way that I felt was fair to present this was that as we adjust grades, what we'd heard earlier is that people get reverted back down to step one. So in looking at the grade, if we go with staff recommendation for that grade, but instead of taking away and making essentially the employees start all over again at ground zero, of recognizing the steps and the progress that was made within that current grade. So if we're determining this grade's appropriate and we're gonna move this grade to here, it's my belief that the step should follow, and the district traditionally has done that. So when we did this with the battalion chiefs, no one lost steps. They kept what they had earned within that grade and just moved into the new grade. So that is one thing that I would like to propose that's completely on the board for their decision. But that would put us more in line with the surrounding fire districts.
So, questions?
Yeah, but it raises more questions, but that's all right.
So, I just want to get this clear. You're comfortable with the resolution as it is?
Provided the second part of that, if we can recognize the grades and stick with the past practice of the district, recognizing the steps within that grade, it's still low. I mean, it is still low, and I hope that at some point we can go back and readdress that, but hopefully not for years, and you know, years and years and years push down the road, because we now set up a method to maintain it a little bit, matching the county salary schedule. So we have done that, and I feel that the grade could be appropriate as long as we're aligning the steps as where what was already earned and provided for years of service and qualifications.
Okay. So let's go back to you then. Do you want to address those questions right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's probably something I should have brought up when we addressed this with on the county side, but I wasn't really even thinking about, does moving someone to a higher grade then start them over at step one? And maybe that's a conversation to take offline and not necessarily to have here in this meeting, but okay.
She just stayed here.
The current county policy says when a position is what we call reallocated, and that's based on salary data, that the person does not necessarily receive an increase. They go to the step at the higher grade level that does not provide a decrease in pay. When a person is promoted or their position is reclassified based on additional duties, the employee gets at least a 5% pay increase, or they go to step one if that is lower than the 5%. But Jeremy is correct. The battalion chiefs were reclassified 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, and I did check and they retained their steps. So if you were to provide that for the fire chief, it is a consistent practice in the fire district.
Okay, so just to make sure I understand, the county policy is basically a hold harmless. So it's not necessarily dropping the dollars that they receive. We find the closest equivalent step, but in essence, what it's doing is it's providing more upside in the future.
Correct. Yes, that's okay. Accurate.
And we have another element in play today, and that is bringing it in line with the increases that have been put in the COLAs and things for the represented employees. What does that do in real terms to what someone gets paid? As of July 1st, is that a raise when we bring that in line?
For the regular employees that are not receiving a grade increase, that is the case, that they would actually see that percentage increase in their paycheck. The example, like the county manager, we recommended that that position receive a grade level increase based upon the salary data. The county manager would not necessarily receive an increase. He'll go to the closest step at the higher grade that does not provide a decrease.
That makes sense. So in essence, if the grade was changed, I'm concerned a little bit about the appearance of inequity here in that situation, because if we didn't regrade people, basically they get a raise, and if we did regrade them, they don't get a raise. Okay. But they have more future.
I'll clarify that. I'm sorry, they would still get that approximate 6% raise. Yes, they just would not get an additional raise for the grade level increase.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. So the 6% ish applies basically across the board.
Right.
And then those who go to a new grade, kind of based on that, will be put into the step that
correct
best fits.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I apologize for misunderstanding that.
That's fine. I don't think I made it clear.
Commissioner Gilman, we've had some discussion. Is there any questions you have now, or are you still good?
I do not. I think we're headed in the right direction.
Okay. So with that said, we have already gone to public comment. Are you comfortable with the motion at this point? Thank you, Jeannie.
I think I am. So just to be clear on the fire side, while we're cleaning up some positions, really the only one that we're regrading is the chief position, and we're potentially creating a new assistant fire chief position. Is that a good summary of what this actually does? We're not regrading anyone else?
That is correct. So only one position is getting regraded. One is just being put in resolution to have within the district, but we are moving our administrative staff off the county current AFSCME onto the fire district resolution, and there is no change there.
Okay.
And then you're going to add in that resolution that should an assistant fire chief
creation of the assistant fire chief position
should be
subject to board approval.
It's subject to board approval.
As part of this motion, I would ask my fellow commissioners, do we want to incorporate the element that we were just talking about retaining a step with the reclassification, or is it an either or between that and the COLA? Because we have several things in play here, right? We're going to a new grade. Potentially, we're also doing some catch up, right? By applying the cost of living increases that would now apply. So that would be added into the formula for the chief position. And then the third element is, do we retain the step? And I guess the question is, are we piling all of those on top? So new grade plus 6% plus retaining the step, or is it an either or there?
I'm not, I don't know, maybe I'm not following you then. Commissioner Gilman, did you understand that?
I believe we're following the resolution as suggested by staff, with the exception of the oversight, if you will, of the commission to the assistant chief position. But otherwise, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that we would then be in compliance with the resolution as suggested. You're not looking at amending, are you? Right.
Well, the new element that was discussed just a bit ago was that one of the differences between the way that we did the county resolution and the fire district is that when we reclassified, when the fire board reclassified the battalion chief positions 2 years ago, they were, it was specific to allow them to retain the step that they were on when they were given the new grade. That is not the way that the county does it. The county finds kind of an equivalent so that the money stays the same, but the step does not necessarily, does not change or does not, is not retained. And so there was a conversation and a preference expressed to keep in line with that. And I don't know if that's in this resolution or not. I was not looking for that when I read the resolution.
The step is not in the resolution.
I think before voting on that, from my position is I would like to see some more clarity. I hate to amend this resolution based upon the testimony that we've had here today, if you will. It sounds to me like we're heading in a amended position, if you would. So I would prefer to hold off on and not make that amendment adjustment in this particular resolution today.
So I think I'm comfortable with that as long as the board is willing to take up a discussion about what step the fire chief is on, so to speak, as a separate agenda item in the future.
I would be willing to do that. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Okay.
So Chair, are you okay with that? Basically, the motion would be for the resolution the way it is with the one caveat about the assistant chief position.
Yeah, so the only question I would have is, are you fine with this resolution as it is?
So the resolution as it is, I'm fine with it. Like I said, I did get some surprise information today about a higher grade that was originally looked at. I would just encourage, you know, the commission to look at another agenda item, which I'll post before the start of the budget year, addressing the steps, which would rectify this situation and put it in line.
Okay, then if that's how you want to roll on.
Okay. All right, and then we can work through some details offline and bring it in a little more complete fashion, as opposed to doing it on the fly like this.
Yeah, I mean, because you brought up 164. I mean, did that come from Jeannie at all? So I'm going to call you back up again, Jeannie. Sorry. Because Vice Chairman Mitchell's statement of grade 164 now throws some questions
into
the mix.
And it
my
does.
Question is, where did that come from?
That actually came from Jeremy when I provided the salary survey results to him. He was looking at averages and equated that to a grade 164.
Okay.
But I came back with a 161, again, using the same formula that was used for the county.
Okay, and at that time, are you cool with that?
And yes, not knowing, because yes, when I looked at it as well, mm-hmm. and doing the comparisons with comp studies and everything else, that was the grade in which I thought. So initial for the budgeting, we were looking at that number, that grade, but then I did receive back from Jeannie that they were going to propose 161.
Okay, because when I spoke with you last, I thought everything was cool as is.
And I think we're both in agreement on the 161 now. It's just what step he would go into. If we apply the county policy, he would go in at a step one, which is 135,550. If he retains his steps, you're at a five now, is that correct,
yes.
Jeremy? It's 155,547. So it's a difference of $20,000.
Okay.
But that's not taking into account the COLA, which would also be applied. Is that correct?
That is
at the higher salary schedule. Yes.
So that's what we'd be looking to move to.
Right. Right. On July 1st, he would either go to the 135, or if you make a motion to retain his steps, it'd be the 155.
Okay.
Yeah, so for me, unless I'm missing something, I would like to stick with this original resolution with the addition of the oversight on the fire chief. If you other commissioners want to delve into this potential 164, I'm fine with that too.
I don't necessarily feel a need to make a change in that regard. I'm happy to make a motion to go ahead. I'd like to bring it back for further discussion, an agenda item specifically about either the step or looking at adjusting the grade. Because I want to make sure that it's equitable. I want to make sure that it's in line. So I feel this is a move in the right direction. I think the cleanest way to do it is to do it just like you talked about, Mr. Chairman. And I'm happy to do that as long as there's an opening to discuss in the future.
Okay, that works.
So with that, I'll make a motion. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 22-638, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 474.470 for appointed Story County Fire Protection District officials for the 2022-2023 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County Fire District employees with grade adjustments for fire chief and the potential addition of assistant chief subject to board approval, as well as administrative assistant 1, 2, 3, and administrative specialist office manager. The fire inspector position will be abolished in the general salary schedule. The general salary schedule will be consistent with the Story County salary schedule and will be adjusted accordingly on a year-by-year basis.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Chief. Moving on to item number 17, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of changes made to policy number 503A, Battalion Chief's compensation, which eliminates provisions for comp time, including incentive pay for the fire marshal, provides for physical fitness incentives for other non-represented full-time positions, and to approve a newly introduced policy number 503B, fuel crew compensation. Chief?
Yes. So to make this more in line with the staff, one of the changes proposed in this is I want to eliminate all forms of comp time. That keeps it aligned across the board. So that was where you see that I removed the comp time from that compensation or from that compensation policy. The second part of it is adding the fire marshal where we did establish that position. I want to put them in line with the battalion chiefs, provide a way for them to seek out additional training, certifications, and be compensated for it. And as well as including a physical fitness incentive for all my non-represented full-time positions, which would be one person. And why I lean toward doing that is that the district has put heavy emphasis on education and physical fitness. It helps us in our insurance. It helps us have a healthier workforce that's more productive. To leave one person out of that mix of not being eligible for the physical fitness incentive particularly, I didn't feel was appropriate. So I did include that in there. So that the other non-represented full-time position is just for the physical fitness incentive. The additional policy, policy 503B, fuel crew compensation. This is all grant funded reimbursement stuff. So there is no cost to the district. And it essentially establishes a similar incentive to what our line staff's getting, but now for our new line staff that's doing the fuels work. But again, that 503B would be funded off of grants, not out of the district fund.
Anything else, Chief?
I think that about covers it.
Is there any public comment regarding item number 17? All Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything regarding item number 17?
I have no comments there.
Okay, Vice Chairman.
I'm just curious what, and forgive my ignorance, but what, you know, what are the benefits of eliminating comp time other than bringing the policy in line?
My biggest push for that was just to align it with the rest of the staff. Part of kind of what I've been presenting last year is bringing things back into line, not showing one is getting something that the other one necessarily isn't getting. So this just better realigns us with the staff. So I want to eliminate the comp time provision in there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. With that said, if there are no more questions, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah. IFI Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve changes in the Battalion Chief Policy Number 503A, now known as a non-represented employee compensation policy, and approve Policy 503B, Fuels Crew Compensation, effective July 1st, 2022, with the exception of the physical fitness incentive, which will go into effect May 1st to remain consistent with testing.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that, Chief.
Thank you.
Moving right along to item number 18, this discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of an updated ambulance fee schedule that has not changed since 2012.
Just as kind of in the title says, we're looking at our ambulance fee schedule moving into next year. Traditionally, it would reflect 3% increase over the years, but we have not addressed this since July 1st of 2012. Currently, we're well under some of our surrounding agencies, and what we're taking in, we're having a hard time even buying supplies these days. So it's basically keeping up with inflation rates and keeping somewhat consistent. We've shot for still one of the lowest in the region. So with these new ambulance fees, we will still be one of the cheapest services within the region, but it allows us to bring in some more revenue there to help cover our ambulance expenses.
All right, thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment regarding item number 18? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding the ambulance fee schedule?
I have no questions. I'm appreciative that the chief is looking at this. We are an aging community, and this is a very, very important part of his department. So I'm certainly in support of this action.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman.
Chief, could you just provide a little bit of context about the impacts of raising this fee? Who pays it? Where do you see that actually, you know, reflected into the community?
Yes, Commissioner. So one thing about it, and just to give some historical data for kind of Story County, Virginia City, Lockwood, Mark Twain areas, Virginia City Highlands, or our residential community, this is kind of why we provide that ambulance subscription program. And I want to obviously take this opportunity to reinforce that to our people is we've got this program and you don't see these costs at all. So for our residents, with that ambulance subscription program, there is no increase to them. Obviously, we're still billing insurance, and what the insurance does not cover, we don't go after the people with the ambulance subscription program. It's wrote off, it's done. So the financial impact of this is more people traveling through, us responding to other jurisdictions, some of our workers down in the tri-area as well as our visitors here in Virginia City. Again, a bulk of this goes to the insurance company. Still, a prorated portion is their portion based off their insurance. So very minimal impact to the person.
Thank you.
All right. I have no questions. With that said, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, IFIRE Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the proposed fees outlined in the 2022 Story County Fire District ambulance fee schedule and will become effective on July 1st, 2022.
Second motion.
There's a motion. Do I have a second?
Yes, second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number 19, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the fire district requesting an approval of an overfill for a paramedic position due to the three paramedics being out on extended leave. Approval of the overfill will allow the district to hire an additional paramedic to continue providing emergency services to our residents. If the paramedics currently on leave are able to return to work, this overfill position will be abolished and no longer used. Chief?
Yes, commissioners, and then thank you for bearing with me. As you can see, it's all been budgetary items, but it's important things that we line out before moving into this next year. One thing that was pointed out earlier was that increase in overtime that you see with the fire district. Unfortunately, those numbers continue to go up because, like I said, if no one signs up for that spot, we're holding somebody in that, which has two effects to us, is we're paying increased number of overtime, and then we're also demoralizing our people because we're holding them up day after day after day after day. So the purpose of this overhire is while we have multiple people out, they're allowed to step into this role, fill this position at not an overtime rate, which helps us save some of our overtime costs, and helps my people out. So they're not continually being held over shift after shift after shift. One thing that I will kind of comment on this is as we're moving on, I still have employees that I know that are going to be a year out that are on, you know, extended leave. So we did this overhire for 2 years. It would be under an agreement that it would be 2 years. Within that 2 years, I do expect some attrition based off potential retirements. So I just kind of want to clarify where it reads just paramedic up above. I just want to say once we get back to our normal staffing, because this paramedic is a very versatile role. It can move from the firefighter role. It can fill both positions. So I want to make that really clear, but it would be for maximum of 2 years. If we do have an opening, they're already in place. We can move them up into the full-time spot.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment regarding this paramedic position? Not seeing any public comment. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything you want to add or have questions about?
Would it be necessary to discuss in this action that it does have a 2-year limitation, if I'm understanding that correctly? Chief?
Yes, Commissioner. And I did put that into a motion. That would address that the time frames for this person.
So that is not included in this particular motion? What am I missing?
It is included.
It is included, yes.
All right.
Any other questions, Commissioner Gilman?
No, thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No questions.
I have no questions either, so would you entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the fire chief to overfill a paramedic position effective April 5th, 2022 through no later than April 5th, 2024.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being up here. Moving right along to item number 20 is to adjourn to convene as the Story County Water Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 21, which is review and possible approval of the 2022 to 2023 Story County Water Sewer Tentative Budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. Controller McCain. Let's put another door right there.
Good afternoon, Story County Comptroller Jennifer McCain for the record. This is specifically for the water and sewer funds. The revenues of the water fund are expected to cover the operational expenses. And with that, back in 2019, Resolution 19557 approved rate increases, which will increase the water rates approximately 2%. These revenues will bring a dollar increase of approximately $8,000.
expenses within the water fund with some reorganization within Public Works and continued conservative spending, the water fund is seeing a decrease in their budgeted expenses. That was hard to say. I haven't said that today. of approximately 2%. This will move forward with their ending fund balance increasing and put them better on the projected way of supporting themselves. The sewer fund, as we discussed earlier, we found that the infrastructure fund was to help pay bonds for the system upgrades that had just transpired. This transfer is going to be in the amount of $830,000, which includes $620,000 of past transfers that were not done, and $210,000 for the current year. This inflow of money will definitely help the sewer fund. However, we need to continue to watch the operational revenues are covering the operational expenses of this system. From the study, these transfers are planned to move forward through fiscal year 24, which is when it is expected that the sewer fund will be at a point where it can support itself. The operational expenses for the sewer fund are also projected to drop with the same reorganization and conservative spending of approximately 5%. The increase in revenues and the decrease in the expenses is expected result of a revenue surplus of approximately $150,000. This surplus will be needed to be transferred to restricted fund balances dictated by the bonds used to upgrade the system. These restricted transfers are currently behind 4 years. However, as this is a necessary of keeping these bonds, the sewer fund is looking at a more positive outlook than we have seen in the past. And we take this as an opportunity to take a little extra time to reevaluate where we can help the water and sewer funds in the future and keep them going as their enterprise funds. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Comptroller McCain. We'll go to the public first. Or any public comment regarding the water sewer tentative budget? Not seeing any. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Comptroller McCain about the water sewer budget?
No, thank you. No questions.
Okay. Vice Chairman slash ratepayer.
I have one question. I noticed on the water fund, the budgeted amount for salary and wages is down a bit. Is mm-hmm. that due to actually being lower, or is that due to reallocating to somewhere else?
They went through a reorganization, and we really looked very closely at the percentage of times that all the employees in Public Works did share amongst the different funds, and we were able to lower it that way.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thank you. I had two other questions. A constituent asked me, and I just wanted to get some clarification on this.
Okay.
The first one is, was there a rate increase to ratepayers as a result of the work that was done with the Gold Hill plant? Or was that covered through
funding? No, the Gold Hill plant was covered by the bonds from USDA, and rate increases were implemented years before that was put into effect.
So not tied.
They're not tied to that.
Great, thank
you. Sewer project.
This constituent had also heard that there was some sort of a sunset, and I believe this was on paying back the USDA bonds for the sewer work that had been done previously, that those had sunsetted at some point, but we had not removed or reduced the rates. I was not familiar with that. I thought I would ask because my understanding is we're still paying on them and we still owe.
Right. We're still paying on them, and we have many more years to go on all the sewer bonds that we have. The only bond that has retired while I've been in the comptroller's office, not necessarily in this position, was a very old water bond.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
All right. I don't have any questions for you regarding that. So are you ready for a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the filing of the 2022-2023 Story County Water Sewer Tentative Budget to the Nevada Department of Taxation as presented.
Second motion.
There was a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Don't get too excited. We are going to call a quick 5-minute recess. Sorry, Kathy. before we reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. See you back here in five-ish minutes.